Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. The rollout of the Affordable Care Act has been called many things. Smooth would not be one of them. Last week, the Obama administration announced that Google, Oracle, and Red Hat would be loaning some of their top engineers and programmers to help fix the problematic website for applying for and purchasing health care insurance. The administration is calling it a tech surge, borrowing a term from military strategists. Well, we decided to play a little thought experiment. What if, instead of the government, one of America's tech giants had been in charge of the site in the first place? What if instead of healthcare.gov, we had iHealthcare or Google Health? What if Mark Zuckerberg were asked to spearhead the Facebook Health Exchange? Joining me to speculate on how the rollout might have gone differently is Rob Fleischman, Chief Technology Officer at Zerocol and our regular oracle of all things digital. Hello, Rob.
Wonderful to be here, Virginia. Thanks for having me.
Also joining us is David Ewalt, Senior Editor at Forbes. David, great to have you back as well.
Thank you.
So let's begin. Apple is known for building buzz and inspiring an almost pathological loyalty among users. David, you first. How might Apple have handled the rollout if they were the chief architects for healthcare.gov?
Well, I think the first thing Apple would have done is started running slick commercials with beautiful, multiracial, fashionably dressed 20-somethings all sitting and signing up for insurance. They would have made it sexy. They would have made the site something cool to do. And then when it didn't work, they would have convinced people that was a feature, that it wasn't a bug, it was the user's fault.
It's an extremely simple tool, but also extremely powerful.
And it'd probably look pretty good, actually, online, right? Apple's known for great design.
Oh, yeah. I mean, one of the complaints about the site has been that it's a little wonky. Just looking at it, it's a little hard to navigate. Certainly wouldn't have looked that way if it was an Apple product.
Rob, what about Google? What would its strategy have been?
Well, Apple certainly is not exclusive on creating sexy products that are hard to get to. Google's had a number of things, especially Google Glass recently, that are tough to get. You have to be on the in crowd to be on the list. Seriously, though, there's something, you know, that's computer science 101 here, and that is a staged rollout of major products. People have heard words like alpha and beta, and those refer to different stages a product goes through. Alpha usually refers to things being tested internally. Maybe the people inside of Google would be signing up for healthcare themselves, and then a beta rollout to a small selection of people, and then expanding that beta larger and larger and larger.
So if they had used a strategy like Google Plus, where you would be one of the ordained and invite somebody else to try it out?
Well, certainly that's one very public illustration of a staged rollout. But tech companies, you know, for-profit companies have a few things to worry about that the government doesn't. For example, reputation. Competition, money, you know, we worry about that stuff. If you blow up and do something horrible rolling out your product, well, people really aren't going to trust you in the future. So you worry about these things. You don't want major, major disasters. And the way you get around that is by staging your rollout slowly. You start with a small group of people. You get their feedback. You have focus groups. You see where it broke, where it didn't scale. And geez, you know, look at what we've done here. We have a rollout of a product that goes to tens of millions, maybe hundreds of millions of people, right, of all different age groups. You got 20-somethings accessing this with some new tablet they picked up yesterday to perhaps older people who might have some old PC running some outdated web browser with God knows what patches. The bottom line is they didn't do a really good staged rollout. They went from zero users to tens of millions in one day. Now, I would never do that. It sounds like a nightmare and a recipe for disaster. And that's basically what we have.
David, how about Facebook? How would the healthcare exchange have been managed if Mark Zuckerberg had been in charge?
Well, Facebook would have approached this, you know, the same way that Rob is talking about. They probably would have developed the ACA site in secret and then rolled it out to only about 5% of all Americans chosen at random. They would have said, okay, you're the lucky folks today. You get to try out the ACA site. And when it was broken, they would have just let those users complain and just deal with it until it was fixed, at which point it would then, you know, roll out to the rest of the country. It's what we see whenever Facebook does stuff like when they switched over to timelines instead of just having their normal news feed. It just shows up on your site one day and now your Facebook is different. People hate it and they complain about it. The rest of us who don't have it, those complaints kind of fall on deaf ears. We sort of ignore them because it doesn't apply to us, while Facebook works out the problems and fixes it. And then once it's a little better shape, then the rest of us get it.
All right. This is what everybody has said, that it should have been rolled out differently. It should have been tested over time. But this question for both of you, overall, what do you see these big tech companies doing successfully that just didn't happen with Obamacare's online rollout?
Well, yeah. I mean, the point we're hitting on again and again is that is this idea of a time to roll out. The government made a big mistake, too, in that they really advertised and pushed hard for people to hit the site on day one. There were commercials and emails that went out to people saying, don't wait another minute, 5 days from now, 4 days from now. They did a countdown, so they wanted as many people as possible on that site on day one because, for political reasons, they wanted to be able to crow about, hey, you know, 14 million people signed up. That was a huge mistake. You never do something like that. Another issue that we haven't really broached yet is that tech companies will use more open source software and technologies. They'll rely on the expertise of outside users and experts. They'll get software that other people have developed and that has been tried and true, and they'll plug that into their system. Or as they develop new software, they'll release it to the world and they'll say, hey, take a look at this, pick at it, find where it's broken, and then tell us before we actually deploy it. The government process for the ACA site started out where they were doing a little bit of open sourcing and getting some outside input, but it quickly became such a technical mess that they pulled all that stuff off of the public repositories and did everything behind closed doors so no one on the outside could tell them, hey, this is broken, this isn't going to work.
Rob, even Obama administration insiders, including a former innovation fellow who worked with the administration, told CNN that the federal government is increasingly relying on a shrinking list of preferred tech contractors and that they've gotten sort of lazy as a result. So any thoughts on that, what David was just talking about, taking it inside, making it closed, less transparent? Is that part of the problem?
Well, David's absolutely right. There's a huge barrier to doing government work. I've been an entrepreneur for two decades, and none of my companies, and there have been many of them, have really focused on government work. There's a very high bar to getting on the list of approved vendors. The bar is both bureaucratic as well as, you know, it's difficult for small companies. You know, I don't know anybody who does a reasonable amount of government work that doesn't have at least one or more full-time people who are experts in the application process and the maintaining of contracts. So you really have to hire someone whose entire job is to get you in. And geez, that's such a high bar that a lot of people don't bother. You know, so the government ends up with something that isn't high quality, but yet comes at a high price because, you know, there's no competition or there's very limited competition.
David, we just heard the tech entrepreneur's perspective. Well, why do you think big companies like, you know, Zappos, Amazon, Google do not vie for government contracts?
Well, it's two things. One is that they're boxed out because the government works with contractors that it's worked with for decades. A lot of the folks who do IT contracting for the government, you run into a lot of defense contractors and companies who've been, you know, started contracting with the government in the 1950s, making fighter planes. They have IT divisions now because they've got the connections. They know how to get contracts through. A Silicon Valley startup that just, you know, is 5 years old simply doesn't have a route in. You know, it's very telling. I think if you look at the amount of money that goes into government IT contracts and government tech projects, just how many millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, you know, some of these contracts are, and how few tech companies are going out or even bidding for those contracts. It's easier to go against the fickle consumers and just see, you know, well, let's put this product out there and sell it to people instead of trying to navigate this government morass.
We look at a company like TurboTax and think, okay, I can do my taxes online, which involves exchanging private information, complicated government forms and tax laws, and calculating subsidies and exemptions. Why is healthcare so challenging?
Well, TurboTax is an interesting example for one part because it's been around since the 1980s. TurboTax was a piece of software on a disk first. So it was tried and tested for decades before it went online. And so that gets the whole idea we've been talking about, of you don't just put your first version of software live on the web for millions of users. To be fair, healthcare is a little bit more complicated than doing taxes because you're integrating databases and services from different companies and different government agencies. It can't all just be contained by one set of rules for, okay, this is how we're going to process the numbers and tell you what you owe. TurboTax doesn't have to connect to systems at 6 different government agencies and 4 different databases and 12 different public healthcare companies. So there is a technical challenge that's distinct. But I think the main reason why it's been so complicated is just the government's broken process. They don't know how to do big software projects like this. There's too many cooks in the kitchen. There's no real head chef. They're getting bad ingredients. It just makes for a really bad meal.
We cannot take politics out of this, however. The Obamacare website has been a political whipping post and target of attacks by people on both sides of the aisle. But there are those that say the fits and starts and attacks made the future of the act uncertain and prevented programmers from getting any traction. Is that just more complaints? And secondly, do tech companies face similar opposition? Someone else is competing against them. Somebody's trying to sabotage what they're doing. Rob?
Well, that's absolutely true. Tech companies out in the real market, I mean, they have competition from all different sides, right? They have their own funding. They have competitors that might be better funded. They have competitors that might have political connections or better salespeople or better regional advantages. You know, when my company tries to sell in Europe, well, you know, sometimes customers in Europe say they want a European vendor and vice versa in the U.S. So, you know, claiming, oh, we have all these giant barriers, I don't think that falls. I don't think that's really that compelling of an argument for the massive problems we've had. You know, I think it's more along the things David said, you know, about the cooks and the ingredients and the lack of testing and the lack of using proven solutions. You know, he gave a great example of TurboTax. You know, they're building on the shoulders of giants, right? The version of TurboTax that millions of people are going to use later this year or early next year has been built on decades of testing and decades of previous versions. And clearly with healthcare.gov, there wasn't enough of that as they should have had.
How about you, David? Obamacare, the legislation, has been dogged by politics from the start. How about Obamacare, the website?
Well, yeah, politics is certainly were part of what went wrong here. It would have been ideal if when the law was passed, everyone just instantly agreed on, okay, here's our specs, this is what the software is going to look like, and then the developers had a couple years to come out with their product. But that doesn't look like that's what happened. It looked like because of different political pressures, they were still changing the specs and saying this is what the software needs to do up until a couple months ago. It also changed because politics meant that certain states were now not participating in the exchange. So the website had to help more people and reach more things. And that was changing up until just a month or two ago. And then, you know, a big thing that went wrong for them was that this became President Obama's signature issue. It was something that was so important that it be successful for him that there was such a push to get on the website day one. Everybody go and sign up because we need to have this as a victory. But that's not what you want to do with a brand new piece of software online, is send the entire country to it on the very first day. So that political pressure really ended up shooting him in the foot.
David Ewald, senior editor at Forbes, thanks so much for playing our little thought experiment today.
Thank you.
And Rob Fleischman, chief technology officer at Zero Coal. Thanks so much for coming in, Rob.
Always a pleasure being here, Virginia. Thank you.
Don't go away. There's more word of mouth coming up after the break.